Hey, everybody. Welcome to Traceability Talk. This is a PLM TrustLink podcast where we dive into the latest trends in food logistics, supply chain, and innovation. My name's Matt. I'm your host. And today we've got a really great conversation lined up. We're joined by an incredible expert in the field, Steve Beck from Zebra. And we're going to be talking about an issue that's on every food processor and distributor's mind: customer claims and credits. We're also, of course, joined by Brian Wood, sales director extraordinaire from PLM TrustLink. And this is a huge issue for so many in the food industry, because not only do these claims affect your bottom line, they also impact customer satisfaction. The more claims you have to process, the more resources you're tying up in correcting mistakes rather than focusing on innovation or growth. So I'm excited to dive into this topic today. Steve, welcome to the podcast. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you're all about.
Sure, absolutely. So Steve Beck, I'm the senior sales manager for RFID at Zebra. I cover the manufacturing, transportation, and logistics verticals, which, you know, really covers a lot of ground there. Been at Zebra for about 8 years, but been in the RFID industry now for about 22 years.
Awesome. Welcome. And Brian, everyone knows, but Brian, tell us who you are and what you do at PLM TrustLink.
Yeah. So thanks again, Matt. Great to be back and having this conversation. But name's Brian Wood, sales director for PLM TrustLink. I was at the very beginnings of the creation of PLM TrustLink about 6-7 years ago now. And we're just really excited to be in this food space, providing all kinds of different solutions for organizations within the food industry.
Awesome. You know, speaking of, if this is, you know, specifically in the food industry, let's just dive in. If you guys could help kind of explain, what do claims and credits typically look like in the food industry specifically? And how widespread is this issue in the food industry?
Sure, I can jump in there. So depending on who you are, Matt, if you're a processor, if you're a distributor, you are going to run into from time to time credits and claims. And what we see in the industry is that organizations that are shipping product, getting it to their customer's dock, oftentimes there could be a short shipment. Let's say the organization ordered 30 cases of product and they ended up receiving 28 cases. In that case, obviously, that would be a short. Then there's a claim against that too, to either get a credit or offset for a shipment. But oftentimes what happens is the shipment is correct, and for whatever reason, there was a count error or something of that nature coming off the pallet. But at the end of the day, what really is a disadvantage to all organizations when you're looking at shortages or claims and credits is that impact to the bottom line. The data is out there. It's proven specifically for like food distribution. If you're a food distributor, it is not out of the ordinary to be looking at credits of up to almost 2% of gross revenue in an annual number as you go back and look at your organization's shipments. And then what you're actually providing in terms of credits back to your customers. It is an impact, and there are solutions, there are technologies out there to help solve that problem. I won't say it's an easy problem to solve, but it's absolutely doable with the technologies that are out there today.
And I would back up on that, yeah, it's absolutely a challenging environment out there for the food distributions and producers and distribution centers sending that out. As Brian said, it really comes down to the accuracy of what happens at the end point of a customer saying, you know, hey, I didn't receive those 30 cartons. I only received 28. But you as the shipper are going, hey, I know I shipped 30, right? You've got that dispute there that's going on. You know, you got to credit claim them back. You want to keep a happy customer. But as Brian said, it does affect the bottom line, and the numbers add up significantly very quickly. And as we're going to talk about today, there are solutions out there that we can help with that and help cut down on those credit claims and make sure that that's an accurate shipment, right? Which really gives a full satisfaction to your customer. It not only equates to dollars and cents on your bottom line, but customer satisfaction is something that, you know, everybody wants and everyone wants to achieve. Doesn't really show on your bottom line, but it keeps you keep your customers happy, and it keeps them long-term working with you as well. So those are some other, you know, numbers that just don't get rolled up into the equations.
That makes sense. So it's about the bottom line. It's about the numbers. And I'm interested to hear, Steve, some of these real life examples you're about to share. First, just another kind of, I guess, level setting question. What would you guys sort of consider the root causes of product claims and sort of like cold chain logistics? Like, what would you identify as those root problems?
Well, I would say the first one that really comes into play is that, you know, it's a very large human interaction process, right? When you're picking, putting product on a pallet, getting it shipped out the door, right? It's a very human interaction process that happens. So right now, right, everyone has pretty much stepped into, the majority of people have stepped into barcoding, right? But you're still asking somebody to scan a barcode. Does that happen all the time? It doesn't. I mean, we know it doesn't. We see the numbers. It just doesn't, right? You know, they'll load a pallet. They'll forget to scan one or two on there, right? So maybe they overshipped. Instead of putting 30, they put 34 on there because someone didn't scan all of them that went on there. Or it didn't put as many on there, right? So this is where, you know, as we're talking about, me as an RFID expert, is this is where we're trying to take some of that human element out of it and leveraging that technology so that we don't have to rely on a human to do that physical piece of it. And then we're able to gather that data and make sure that it is accurate and pass that on, you know, through the entire infrastructure, whether that's, you know, that customer's WMS, or if it's at the endpoint of delivery as well.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. And those are some great points, Steve. The industry, when you look at it, it is very labor intensive. You know, there's a lot of manual processes. I mean, today, and this has been talked about in the industry really over the last couple of years, it's a high labor, low tech approach to a solution. So what that means is you're relying on a lot of manual efforts to pull product, to identify that product, and then to leverage old school technology, we'll say, like a barcode, which means that you have to be line of sight. You have to capture that identifiable information on that label very close in proximity. So you're gonna get some errors. And then oftentimes those errors show up in those shortages or frankly, even overages. And then if that happens a couple of different times, then what happens? You get a data point there, a data point here. All of a sudden there's a trend that's developed. And now the customer's going, well, now I have to check every single shipment that comes in. It's not matching, you know, what the invoice is showing. It might not even be matching what the ASN is submitted. So it's a challenge. The technology that's available out there today flips that switch, though, from a high labor, low tech solution to more of a high tech, low labor solution. So wait, I hope I got that right. But high labor, low tech.
I think so.
High tech,
low.
Correct. I often flip that around sometimes. But at the end of the day, though, when you look at RFID specifically, and that's the topic that we're talking about here, you take that line of sight away and you can now start receiving or reading that label information with the non-line of sight and from quite a larger distance away. And as the technology develops, as it continues to get applied, those solutions become extremely viable in environments where you're picking, packing, loading, shipping, and then receiving. Those are the steps in the process. And if you can automate that as best you can, that's when you start seeing the recovery of some of those claims and credits. And then you start developing good trends, which is 100% accuracy on delivery. And you do that several times, and then all of a sudden it's an acceptable practice. And then maybe there's an occasional short here or there, but it's not an actual trend. It's just, in fact, a data point at that point. And then you recover that and then you move on. But it really gets down to, and I think we started talking about that, it gets down to the numbers. You know, how much are you willing to not only leave on the table, but how much are you willing to absorb in terms of a cost when it's related to those short shipments?
You know, speaking of high tech, low labor solutions, you know, Steve, if you could kind of just break down for us of how Zebra's technology plays a role in tracking, verifying products, really that's moving across the supply chain. Just kind of give us the overview here.
Sure, absolutely. So Zebra is the largest, has the largest portfolio of RFID products out there. So we're able to address the use cases with different types of RFID technology. Whereas, you know, some companies out there are trying to force fit an RFID technology into a process. We'll take your process and then select the right hardware and equipment that is leveraged for that particular use case. So we've got everything from, from a traditional, dock door portal, right? Understanding what's going in and out of a truck. We've got the typical hand scanner, right? That you're in an aisle, or a guy's on a forklift, or people mover, right? And he's using a handheld device to just wand around, right? Pull the trigger down and wand it and read a whole bunch of tags all at once. Instead of, like Brian said earlier, more old school, which is kind of funny to say now about barcoding, but more old school that you're scanning one at a time, right? Now I'm scanning many tags at a time, right? Really helps pick up that process flow. We've got overhead devices where you can sense if a tag is in a zone, if it's in the right area, right? Is this item supposed to be in quarantine, right? Should it be sitting in a quarantine area? Did it move out of quarantine and get on a truck, which we definitely don't want to happen, right? In food, that, something got on a truck that shouldn't get on a truck. Or we can actually get down to the level of taking those overhead devices, grouping them together, and using that to actually get an X, Y, or a dot on a map, which really helps the food delivery warehouse companies understand, hey, if I've got 8 pallets that are supposed to be going to this customer, why do I only have 7 in the staging lane? Get somebody on that 8th pallet, right? So that's the biggest thing I think Zebra brings to the table, is the ability to bring the proper hardware to your use case and not try and have to fit your use case and do some 1 or 2 hardware devices that a company might have.
Nice.
And to sort of dovetail on that, PLM TrustLink as the software solution to that hardware, we're capturing all that identifiable information that Steve just mentioned, but we're giving visibility to all stakeholders within that food supply chain that can actually see where that product is at any given time. So not only are you able to solve that short shipment on the delivery side, but the stakeholder, in this case, maybe a customer, can see when that delivery is taking place in near real time. So the solution really is a hardware software partnership solution, and that really gets the answers from A to Z with all stakeholders in the supply chain. So whether you're a shipper, a receiver, you'll be able to have visibility to that product throughout that process.
Brian, what do you think is sort of the most, what type of data is most helpful when investigating a customer claim? And you talked about timing. Is there other data that is most useful when investigating these claims?
Well, believe it or not, it's as simple as, is the product received what the product is, right? I mean, everyone talks about transparency, visibility of products, specifically food, within the food supply chain, but it really gets down to simple things like product ID, what is it? And then more specifically, is there a lot code tied to it? Is there a batch number tied to it? And these are all significant components to what makes up some of the traceability rules that are coming down from the FDA anyways. So if you have to have product identifiable information that's tied to transparency throughout the shipment process, you might as well capture it and then store it and then provide that visibility for those stakeholders, as I had just mentioned. So just simple little things like, is it the bag of chips, that the customer ordered? And if it is, what is the lot number? What is the, lot code, batch number, that type of thing? That all plays into, that's what I ordered, that's what I'm receiving. So the cool thing about RFID, though, is you can add, there is space and there is capabilities of adding additional product identifiable information on that label or on that tag when it's applied, and then you can actually use that information through that process.
I was part of an organization where, people were literally, when it came to claims and credits, people, we're looking at security cameras from the back of house, trying to like count boxes over grainy security footage to try to validate claims. So I would love to hear how that's improved. And Steve, if you could share maybe some specific examples where claims were reduced through technology like this, we'd love to hear some of those, some of those stories.
Absolutely. So, we've got large retailer customers that take food deliveries in, and that, they'll have the delivery driver will drop off the pallet, right? And it's got 40 cartons on it. And if he doesn't verify that it's got 40 cartons, the people there will cut open the shrink wrap, and they'll have like 2 or 3 people might attack that pallet, right? Because they're waiting on product. Someone will grab a box and walk off and go put that on the floor because it's an urgent item. And then the guy that actually receives that pallet shows up 30 minutes later, and he looks at the pallet and he goes, wow, we only got 38 boxes. And then he files a credit claim. Well, those 2 other boxes were already there. They moved out onto the floor already because somebody grabbed them and moved them out onto the floor. So now if we can leverage that RFID at delivery, right, you've got a guy, delivery driver with a handheld device, typically, he wands that whole thing. And instead of taking him where they would normally not have the time to individually scan each barcode on that pallet, 40 items, you know, if they've got dropping off five pallets, that's a 8, 10, maybe 20 minute process. Now they grab an RFID handheld that they have and they wand that pallet, takes them 40 seconds to do all of that. They know that I dropped off a pallet that had 40 cartons on it. I verified it. We verified it at the dock door when it left. My driver verified it again. So now I've got two verifications that I gave you 40 boxes. And now you can go back to that customer and go, hey, you know we gave you 40 boxes. We're 100% accurate. We've shown you this. And then, like you said, Matt, and then a lot of times a customer will look back now. They'll still leverage some of that security video and look back. And now they've got the ability to go, hey, now I want to look back at that one pallet because I know it got dropped off Monday at 12:05. And they'll pull the security tape and look at it. And they'll go, oh, yeah, see that guy right there. He grabbed those two boxes, took them out on the floor before we received that. It happens all the time.
Yeah, and actually, Steve's bringing up a great point. And getting back to some of the start of the conversation about just the cost of shorts, cost of claims, a lot of those costs that we shared, like 1.8 to 2% of gross revenue, that's literally just product costs. What Steve just mentioned is really critical, which is just labor costs, chasing product that you thought was there and isn't there, or is there and you're trying to find it. Those are soft costs that you need to add back into those particular situations as well. So again, when you have RFID capabilities, when you have the ability to, as Steve said in his example, if you can stand there and wand the pallet in 40 seconds and get 100%, readability and confirmation that you have all the cases that you ordered, you're done and you move on. But if you're missing those, or somebody took them off and you're trying to chase that around, those are additional soft costs that you can basically add back to that challenge.
And I'll back up that point that you said, the bigger piece, right, that we see is not only does that person chasing that, we're taking them away from another thing that they could be doing that could be more critical in the operation.
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity cost there that's lost for sure.
Do you typically see, would you say if an org is kind of examining their KPIs and they're trying to track an investment into something like this to a KPI, is it typically labor?
Yeah, that's where we normally see the ROI starts, is that labor cost. Right. And I mean, because that's an easy one to come across, right? Everyone in the organization from finance, they know what each individual costs, what's their hourly rate, right? What's that cost? What's it come down to? But then, like Brian said, the bigger piece is this is where Brian, PLM as the experts in this area and Zebra working with them, that's where we come in and help them understand those soft costs as well, right? Hey, not only is it, this guy might spend, one guy spends 2 hours a week looking for something. He could have spent those 2 hours doing something more effective, so that's that soft cost that gets added into that pretty quickly. And, the ROIs on RFID add up very significantly, very quick. And we see projects get funded, in a matter of months.
That's cool. I guess, are there particular product categories or customer types that are more prone to claims? Does that make sense?
Not necessarily. I mean, when you look at the food space, since that's what we're talking about here, I mean, obviously there's retail has their own challenges, apparel has their own challenges, even, manufacturing, industrial has their own challenges. But if you really look at food, which is really the industry that we're talking about here today, it's relatively the same in the sense that, you're getting cases of product, you're receiving cases of product and you're putting it away, whether you're receiving it as a distributor from your supplier or whether you're receiving it as a retail grocer, for example, from your distributor, or frankly, if you're receiving it as a QSR from a secondary retailer or a distributor as well, it's the process is relatively the same. You ordered X amount of product and you're expecting the X amount of product hitting your dock door. Oftentimes that's not the case. So that's where those credits and claims come into play. And again, you start looking at not only the value of the product that's either missing or not, or you have the soft costs such as labor chasing it around. I mean, there's audits that happen all the time. We see it all the time in the industry. Audits that that both the provider or let's say distributor and then their customer absorb the costs on just to confirm that, you know, product was ordered, product was delivered. There's a lot of costs there associated with chasing around this stuff. And if you really take a step back and go, wow, what's the longer term solution to this? Well, the longer term solution is looking at better technologies to implement into your organization to claw back some of those costs that are hitting your bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and like Brian said, it really is. It's about, you know, not supplying the right quantities or overages. Those are the two biggest things that happen. And, you know, historically, it's always kind of funny. I know Brian runs across this too, is that, you know, it's never the box of, you know, the can of tuna fish that's missing that was $5. It's the box of lobster that, you know, was $5,000 that, you know, was missing off the pallet, right? I mean, it's typical, right? How it always works. But that's, you know, that's what helps this right there, is that's where those costs get offset very quickly, is because, as we all know, right, we're all at grocery stores now. Food is expensive. It's getting more expensive. Well, these cartons of food are and a pallet of food is not a cheap item anymore. So it becomes very important to make sure that you're, you know, as an end user, I want to make sure I got all 30 cartons that I ordered.
Man, remember when coffee used to be like a dollar? Coffee is so expensive.
Well, anyway. and then you get the new coffee organizations that jump into the space. Oh, you know, it's $5, $6, $7.
It's a lot.
It's really good though.
It's good. Steve, I'm sure with your experience, you have some insight into this. So specifically, let's talk about collaboration across the supply chain with this. So if that $5,000 lobster, you know, goes between shippers, carriers, receivers, right? You know, across the supply chain, what does that collaboration look like in order to reduce claims? Specifically talking about reducing claims, is there communication?
Yeah, talk to me about collaboration. Yeah, absolutely. So the collaboration has become growing every day, right? I mean, historically, a lot of these organizations did not talk together. They didn't share a lot of data together. But now, right, with this new age of technology, the easier it is to share data, to share these things, everyone knows at all of this, they're coming together and they're all collaborating more, right? We see this every day. Brian sees this as the software provider, me as the hardware provider that, you know, it, for me, I'm providing those RFID reads, right? And what they are, really Brian and PLM TrustLink are the ones that are doing that collaboration and getting together all of those companies at the end, whether it's the 3PL, the end customer, you know, the manufacturing, all the way through the whole process, is that they've got that software piece that's tying this all together and allowing all those companies to collaborate together. We used to not be able to have that, right? As a hardware provider, I could only do so much, right? I could only go, hey, I read this at a certain time, at a certain place. Now you got to do what you, now do whatever you want with the data. That's where PLM TrustLink comes into this. And that's where they create this collaboration.
Yeah. So, you know, a little bit on the platform itself, because it literally was designed and built for full visibility collaboration between supplier, receiver, producer, any of the stakeholders that need visibility of that product throughout that supply chain. That's exactly what we built PLM TrustLink to be able to do. We come out of the box with that discussion, Matt, which is really interesting that you bring this up. Collaboration is the key, and that's what we have here to offer. So we capture that information that Steve is providing from all his hardware. Once that information is ingested into the software platform, it essentially acts as a digital twin. So wherever that product goes and it gets read, we're able to see that on our software, and we could provide visibility to that to the appropriate stakeholders throughout that process. So in near real time, there is specific collaboration between that producer, that distributor, and ultimately that customer. And there's even technologies today that you can even expand that all the way to the actual end user. It's not really in mainstream at this point, but there will be a day where all of us will be able to go into the grocery store and take our phone out and tap that label on that head of lettuce and literally see exactly what farm that that head of lettuce came from and how long it took to get there. There's technologies out there today that can give that visibility all the way to that end user. And frankly, that is bringing up a point that I wanted to make with this whole, you know, claims and credits thing. What's driving a lot of this visibility, what's driving a lot of this collaboration, Matt, is that end user. That end user wants to know exactly where that food product came from. So that's what's really driving a lot of this anyway. So collaboration becomes very, very important throughout the process.
This might be a tangent, but why do you think the end user is so interested in that? Like, why do people want to know? Like what farm their lettuce came from?
Well, if we look at the stage of the game right now as it relates to food, I mean, everybody is talking about health. Everybody's talking about is the ingredient that everybody wants to know what the ingredients is and the product that they're consuming. Is it good for them? Is it not good for them? There's allergies and all that kind of stuff that people need to be aware of. And you can only get that through product visibility. So that's why a lot of organizations within the food industry are starting to be able to, or needing to provide that visibility on that product. So that's when organizations like PLM TrustLink, partnering with Zebra Technologies, we can grab that information and make that information available to those that need it.
Yeah. And then that's a whole conversation, right, that we could have on, you know, that falls, you know, kind of crosses over into food safety as well, right? And that's a whole, you know, we could spend hours on that conversation. But as Brian was saying, that really is part of the RFID initiative, is being able to now understand where that product has been, where it started, what its journey was, and making sure that that's valid data. Where, you know, historically it used to be that was a handwritten process. Someone wrote that down. And now, you know, with an RFID tag, that data is authentic data. It's being read by a device that's giving you a time date stamp, right? It's not something that someone can write down on a piece of paper and go, oh, I picked this on Monday when it's really Wednesday.
Yeah, you know Brian kind of talked through this idea of like the near future of an end user being able to scan something in a store and like see it on their phone, and this like future kind of coming technology that's like here, but like not fully here, right? It sounds like. Steve, I'm curious if you, what new trends or technologies are you seeing that could kind of really reduce claims the next like 3 to 5 years, kind of move this forward? Yeah.
So we're starting to augment with our RFID technology. We do have vision as well. So machine vision as well, fixed industrial scanning, right? But it's really using vision. So we're tying RFID and vision together. So now, you know, with that claim process, right, we've got, you know, so say you're looking at some claims that aren't overages or shortages, but they're more damages, right? So now that box will come back, it'll get scanned by an RFID reader, so they know that it was received. And now they can put that through a process where they've got it, or they read the RFID tag, they know when it came in, they time date stamped it, and they've got a vision with an AI hooked to it that they can look at that carton and immediately go, oh yeah, it was damaged. And, you know, be able to immediately process a credit claim quicker, faster, right? Which does help. Yeah, it's a credit claim and they're claiming something, but instead of taking 7 days for that claim to happen, now it can happen in a matter of hours, or if not less, which helps with that customer satisfaction issue again, right? We all know there's claims, but I think we've all been through this personally, right? I know most of us travel all the time, right? When you have a claim on something, whatever, the biggest thing is, hey, I want you to get back to me in a timely fashion. You know, I don't want to wait days, weeks, or months for an answer.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Brian, any other technologies you see on the horizon that you're excited about?
There's a ton of new technologies. It's always coming out. Obviously, the big thing that everyone's talking about is AI and how that's going to play into everything. And we're starting to see some AI capabilities in the supply chain for predictive analytics, things of that nature. I think a lot of that is available today. A lot of that can be deployed today. It's just a matter of organizations really catching up to it. That's really where the game is starting to be played right now. You know, which organizations are going to start gravitating to those more cutting edge technologies and bring those back to their organization and help monetize those technologies for their organization to make them more efficient, to lower their costs, to recover, you know, some of these credits and claims, or even not have them at all. If you think about some of the technologies that are out there today, when you look at predictive analytics, for example, on inventory management, inventory accuracy, shipment capabilities, you know, you have technologies today that can help you out with that. And it's just a matter of the industry trying to catch up to that. And we're seeing it. We're seeing organizations today that are really looking at that, you know, high labor, low tech, you know, situation as I described earlier, and moving more to that, you know, high tech, low labor scenario. I mean, that's really what these organizations are looking forward to do, because it's a margin game. And, you know, those of us that are in the food industry know and understand, you know, margins are tight. So when those costs keep going up, you're going to need to likely absorb some of those costs as well. So what are you going to do to be able to capture potentially additional margin along the way? There's technologies out there that can help you get there.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's a big piece, Brian, that you said there, right? Is that margins in food are slim, right? There's not a lot to work with there. And if you can pick up any point somewhere, even a percentage of a point, right, that's a big deal to these guys.
Let's talk a little bit about implementation, the big, like, how to actually make this happen. You know, if someone's considering this, if they're like, what do I do? How do I actually implement? I mean, first of all, how long does it take, typically take, to see, I would say, measurable results after implementation? If somebody's like, let's implement today, let's make this happen, what's the timeline to see some results from that?
Good, Steve. That's,
yeah. I mean, the timelines that we're seeing are very quick. Like I said, I mean, you know, it depends on where you start, right? So RFID projects, the biggest thing that we almost always want to do when we start with this is pick off an area where we can see a quick ROI and a quick turn on investment there. You don't want to jump in 100% across your organization with RFID, because it is a big step up in technology. There are some challenges to it normally in the organization that's implementing it, because they've got to make some changes inside their internal systems to ingest the RFID information. So we want to start off in a small area and then expand and grow, you know, do a phased approach to that. They can start seeing ROI in a matter of months, a couple of months, you know, a quarter, maybe a half of year, very quickly, you know, on this, and see the numbers. I mean, we normally run proof of concepts with customers, and in that proof of concept that they'll run for 30 or 60 days, they already see a gain in improvement right from that.
Yeah, we're hearing and seeing in the industry today, Matt, the smarter organizations aren't looking for a perfection of implementation, but they're looking for progress. So progress versus perfection. Right. And that boils down to what Steve's talking about. A lot of organizations are doing proof of concepts. A lot of organizations are starting with pilot programs. They're verifying through that pilot program that, oh, this makes sense. We can see the ROI pretty quickly here. How do we scale to it once that pilot program is completed? So you can't really come out with all this technology all at once and provide a perfect ecosystem. But as long as you're progressing to that stage and it's paying for itself along the way, that's when people start getting really excited. And frankly, the implementation goes a lot quicker because everybody can see that and they're on board together.
Progress over perfection. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. One more question for each of you. What, and you might have already said it, Steve, you might have said it here a second ago, but if you have another thought here, what's just one piece of advice that you would give to companies who are, you know, starting out on this journey toward, you know, fewer claims, stronger customer success? Well, what's like the one thing that you would say, like, hey, you're starting out on this journey, reducing claims, implementation, what advice would you give?
My biggest advice is that you've got to find a partner and a software provider that is specialized in RFID and has done this and is successful in this. There is everyone throwing their hat in the ring right now to get into RFID because it is becoming, you know, a day-to-day factor. Everyone is using it more. So you've got a lot of companies throwing their hat into the ring, and you want to go with a very experienced company that has done RFID implementations, has rollouts, has a proven record. And that's the first thing I would say. And PLM Trust has that in abounds. I mean, they've got tons of great customers, tons of great use cases, a great reputation in the industry. And that's really what you want to look for That's the biggest piece.
And I would add, really look at ROI. Talk about the ROI in the very, very beginning of this. Okay, great. You know, you have new technology. You know, what does that mean to me and my organization today? How much is it going to cost me? When and how am I going to get that money back? And we have those discussions all the time from the very beginning. It doesn't serve any organization any good if you're just trying to partner with them or provide a solution to them that they really don't see, you know, the end result as a benefit. So have those ROI discussions at the very beginning. Yes, organizations are looking at RFID. Yes, they're looking at newer technologies. Why? Because that's what everybody's doing and that's what everybody says that they should be doing. But really bring it down to, is it cost effective? There's organizations out there today that have full scale A to Z RFID implementation and they're wildly successful. There's other organizations that don't need that, that might need a smaller footprint, if you will, between RFID and some software to get to where they need to be. So Steve is absolutely spot on. You know, start in an area where, you know, where it's reasonable and start with a reputable, you know, team or group of people that understand what's going on, that's been doing it for quite some time, but have those ROI financial, you know, implementation discussions early on. If it makes sense, that's the thumbs up or thumbs down right away. I mean, we should all be doing that in all our businesses anyways, right? We all have a certain amount of resources to deploy in our organizations. The answer to the leveraging of that is, what is going to be my return on those resources?
Nice. Thank you. Well, thank you guys, gentlemen. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your expertise and your insight into this topic and in the industry. Appreciate joining the traceability talk.
Yeah, no, it's been great. Thanks a bunch, Matt. Really appreciate it. And Steve, thank you very much. Great conversation.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you all.
All right.